This is KHOL News. I'm Robin Vincent. It was another smoky Labor Day weekend in Jackson Hole. Last year, the Saddle Butte fire marked the holiday. That wildland fire threatened dozens of homes and prompted evacuations. This year, it was the Swinging Bridge fire. On Sunday, fast-moving flames forced the evacuation of hundreds of residents. But by Monday, those neighbors found relief. Firefighters worked through the day and night to contain the blaze, and on Monday morning, evacuation orders were lifted. Rain and snow on Monday night further aided fire containment efforts. Before the blaze spread on Sunday, Richard King was driving across the Swinging Bridge. He was watching his father-in-law's house in Porcupine Creek. That's when he saw a little cloud hovering above the ridge. He says he quickly realized,
well, that's not a cloud, that's smoke. And there was a sheriff's deputy, and I pulled over and I said, is that a fire up there? And he said, yes, it is. And I'm here to evacuate the recreationists down below swimming and fishing in the water. And I said, gosh, okay, what can I do? And he said, well, I've already called the fire department. They're coming out. Just take care of yourself. So I went to my father-in-law's house and then immediately just came back to see how the fire was growing. And by the time I just was gone 3 minutes and back, it was racing towards us with the southern breeze.
King called his wife Tamara and father-in-law Richard Ashburn. He asked Ashburn what he should try and save.
And he said, you know, just save the photographs of my wife. He let everything else go. And I'm kind of, it really touched me when he said that.
But like a good son-in-law, King still scrambled to pack up everything he could for his father-in-law as the smoke grew closer. He and his wife and brother-in-law quickly filled up two trucks.
And then Tamara said, Richard, get out of there. The fire's coming over the crest now. You can see it. And then she left, but I went back in because we didn't have any of Richard's clothes. And so I just real quickly grabbed an armful of clothes and just came back. And by the time I got out of there, I could see smoke coming into Porcupine Creek and a little bit of flames.
King sped down Old Henry's Road to the highway and looked across the river. That's when he finally caught a glimpse of all the firefighting efforts underway.
I could see the helicopters with those long lines and those buckets dipping into the Snake River right in front of me, picking up huge buckets of water and taking it over to this house that was going fire all around it and dumping the buckets on it. And then all of a sudden, here comes some huge airplane just strafing the whole scene with retardant.
Those firefighters saved the houses from a scorched fate.
It was pretty spectacular scene going on between those airplanes and the helicopters and the firefighters, and it was scary.
But more notably, King says,
getting a sense of community here also. It was really a pretty amazing experience. I'm glad everyone is safe and there's no damage.
As of Tuesday, the fire was 85% contained. A storm on Monday may have brought much-needed precipitation that drenched the fire in South Park, but destructive winds were also on the menu. The storm uprooted trees all over town and resulted in power outages. A video captured by the Jackson Hole News and Guide depicted some of the destruction. It showed massive trees stretched across Albertson's lawn. The damage was also extreme in Grand Teton National Park. Crushing winds swept through the park beginning around 6 p.m. Monday and didn't let up all night. Here's Grand Teton spokesperson Denise German.
We definitely have some downed trees across the park, mostly in the southern area of the park. So at this time, the Moose Wilson Road is closed. We've got downed trees. We've got some damage to some power lines. Electric power is not widespread at this point. Most of Moose, Beaver Creek, and southern areas of the park do not have power.
Meanwhile, park staff have their hands full.
Many of our employees today are focused on responding to the damage that happened during the storm. So we've got trail crew, we've got park rangers, we've got roads crew, we've got lots of people out and about right now responding to downed trees, closed road situations, trails, etc.
German says people should check a visitor center or Grand Teton's website before heading into the park for the latest conditions. The COVID-19 pandemic has created no shortage of anxiety among residents, but this should ease some people's nerves, at least a little. Teton County is seeing a decrease in COVID-19 cases. They've dropped dramatically in recent weeks. The Valley is now averaging 11 new daily cases per 100,000 people. That's a big dip. In July, daily cases per capita were at roughly 40. Health officials point to several reasons for the diminished infection rates. For one thing, a mask mandate has been in effect since mid-July. Contact tracers at Teton County Health Department have also been working around the clock to inform people of potential exposure and to get them into quarantine. But those aren't the only factors at play, says Teton County Health Department's Jody Pond.
People are starting to change their behaviors. We're seeing that younger age group on our two-week rolling average not have as many cases as well and not as many contacts. So it's a layered effect. It's what people do, the choices they make in their individual lives and behaviors. It's mask wearing and physical distancing and hand hygiene and all of the above. It's a layered effect, as I've said, and you can't have one without the other. And so it has definitely been all of those things.
The mask mandate is in effect through September. Meanwhile, a health recommendation for all bars and restaurants to close by 10 p.m. expires September 18th. That recommendation is meant to address popular places of transmission. Multiple COVID cases have been traced back to late-night gatherings at eateries and drinking holes. I'm Robin Vincent. This is KHOL News.